Hare Krishna. Leaving New Brajadam this afternoon, going to Budapest, and tomorrow morning, long drive to Ukraine. That's going to be a new experience. I haven't gone into a war-torn country yet for the Ukraine festival. And I'll be sending some podcast from over there, so I'll give a low rundown as to what it's like. That's an exaggeration, war torn, because we're coming in the west part of the country, coming in from Poland, so it's not something that we'll be having experience of, I hope, but nonetheless, it's still a country that's fallen on hard times. Hare Krishna. What an unfortunate state of affairs in the world, the type of misery that men inflict on each other is really mind-boggling. I'm sorry that the video recording of the Chicago presentation didn't come out so well. And I'm doing all of these presentations here in Hungary and in Hungarian, not English. And I wanted at least a good summary, but I saw some of it, and it was quite echoey and not really what it should have been. Anyway, such as modern technology. And the day before yesterday, we had an hour and a half long debate, myself and Radha Krishna Prabhu. It was part of our half day Namhada seminar. It was very, very instructive for the devotees. And we continued on this morning somewhat. And he concluded very aptly by asking, because devotees they talk amongst themselves, but they don't necessarily raise all the questions they want to raise with me, but we know what they are. So this type of debate form is lively, so it's attention riveting, and at the same time, the issues get to be dealt with nicely. And so his final question was, well, if you want devotees to go away with a thought, what is your message? What is it that we want devotees to take away from this debate, if it's just one thing? And of course, there's a lot of info over there. Sometimes some of it is, well, it's not info overkill, but there's a lot there to digest. And so my message is something that I think listeners have also heard, is are we really willing to take up the type of cultural shift, which means personal sacrifice, collective sacrifice, that it takes to make Varnashram a reality? It's not just going to be about dividing people, who's a Brahmin, who's a Vaishya, etc. It's not about that. That's really part of it. But it's to do with people's duties, way of life, different way of life, a diametrically different way of life, which for devotees is not going to be the same type of challenge that it is for non-devotees. Because we've already made such a break with the world in something already so diametrically different, that Varnashram is just a continuation, another break, but it's very different. And there's so many examples that we can bring up, things that are radically go against the grain of our upbringing. The majority of people in society should not have freedom to do whatever they want. They should not determine their own lives and what they're going to do, but they should be under the guidance of seniors. It's Varnashram. We always see that those people who are Shudras are guided and they serve Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Brahmins. That doesn't mean they go to work. That means they live with them. They are people who guide, give that type of guidance in every aspect of life for those who are not necessarily so self-determined, who are not necessarily so clear. Their nature is not such that they know how to actually get the best out of life, which is especially Krishna consciousness, and to follow the principles just on their own of a Varnashram social structure. And the best example I can give is of children. No parent thinks that their children should be allowed to do whatever they want. They don't give children the freedom to vote and determine what they're going to have for lunch or whether they're going to go to sleep or how they're going to entertain themselves and so on. Children are guided by parents. However, growing up does not just simply mean a biological change. People don't automatically become qualified adults, but rather some people don't necessarily become qualified to take that type of responsibility for their lives. They need assistance. And does that apply to devotees as well? Well, in my 40-plus years of experience in Krishna consciousness, sure seems to be the case, because I see a lot of devotees making a real mess out of their lives. And could they have done better? Well, they did do better, for instance, when they were in a brahmachari and brahmacharini ashram, and they were under guidance. That not suggesting that they should be moving back into a brahmacharini ashram. In fact, right now I'm not even suggesting anything other than just giving an example of how radical a different concept it is that we have to accept. So are we willing to accept that this is at least a direction that we're going to go in? How are we going to get there? What are the constraints? What is the structure? What are the steps? That's a detail, but first we've got to decide. Are we willing to accept? Are we willing to embrace this type of culture, which has this type of underpinning? And of course, there are so many things. Well, what about everything we've seen in the past? What about the caste system? What about the degradation of monarchy? And so many, yeah, there's no argument. And there's no argument that it can go wrong, or that it probably will go wrong in certain areas. But nonetheless, it's Srila Prabhupada's instruction. It's Krishna's instruction. It's the instruction of the Acharyas. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted it. So the question is, are we going to do it? And that then becomes really the major challenge for us, is to accept another life-defining change, as life-defining as our coming to Krishna consciousness was, this one of moving it forward. And no doubt we're capable of doing it, and it will take time. If we're talking about a 10,000-year golden era, what do we think that golden era is? It just happens on its own. Devotees don't have to do anything. Yudhisthira Maharaj had to go into exile for 13 years. They had to fight a war in which they had to kill their own relatives in order to take what is establishing a 10,000-year golden era in Kali Yuga, not in the previous age, but in Kali Yuga, come without a struggle, without an effort. Certainly, someone is going to do it. Now the question is it we who's going to do it? Is it the International Society for Krishna Consciousness who's going to do it? Or are we continuing to go, as seems to be in certain ways, a type of modernization, westernization, a certain trend which is the influence of the world around us, diluting many of the principles that we receive from Srila Prabhupada? And Prabhupada's disciples especially will be the first ones to vouch for how standards have radically changed in many things. Lifestyle has changed, practices have changed. What will happen? How do we reverse that? And how do we do the things that we read about in Srimad Bhagavatam and that we've heard Srila Prabhupada say? Never mind about what people argue and what people say, but what does Bhagavatam say and what does Srila Prabhupada say? So that's the challenge. Hare Krishna.